This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Moment I Need You and Blackout by Stray Theories, written and recorded by Micah Templeton Wolf, from the album Even Though We Sleep, and Calm Down by Loney Deer from the album Hall Music. Special thanks to Myesha, Alika, Renee, Yolanda, Rebecca, and all the women at A New Way of Life in South LA. And thank you for listening.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Oregon College of Art and Craft, a creative community in Portland. OCAC invites you to its open house for undergraduate degree programs on June 22nd at 1 p.m. You can RSVP at ocac.edu.
Andy Warhol, let's just scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
Good morning. Thanks so much for listening to Art Focus. My name is Ava Lake, and I'm really excited because I have with me today Heidi Kirkpatrick, who I've known at least 10 years. And you can go to her website, HeidiKirkpatrick.com, and see images that we're going to be talking about today. Thanks so much for joining me, Heidi.
Thanks for having me.
So before we go right into the work, let's just have a quick synopsis of where you're showing or have shown the last few months, because you've been really busy.
I have been busy. Yes, it's been a good year. I showed at Gail Gibson in Seattle, and at Wall Space in Santa Barbara with Krista Dix. Was in a show called Object. And then I was getting ready for Photo Lucida, the big portfolio review that was a lot of work, but a lot of fun and very fruitful. And I just got back from Boston. I have a show at Griffin Museum of Photography. And then concurrent with that, I have some work at the Dynamatronic Gallery in Miami, Florida.
Nice.
Yeah.
You also showed at Orange Studio.
I did.
Which is it's a salon in Southwest Portland, which also has exhibitions which are curated by Pamela Morris.
Yes, ma'am.
And then also, I think it's worth mentioning that you're in, aren't you in the drawers in Blue Sky?
Yes, I'm sorry that I left that out. I am, for the third time.
So you can go, you know, listeners out there, you can go to Blue Sky at any time and ask to see her work that she's in the drawers there.
Right.
So, how would you, you know, I think it's kind of, I always try to ask people, like, how do you describe your work? And I'm going to say something, and then you tell me if I'm right or wrong.
Okay.
So I think that your work is photo-based. It can be your photos, but it is not always. Sometimes it is a found photo, but it tends to be a photo that's very close to you somehow or related to you somehow.
That is true.
And then you do straight prints, but not just that. Sometimes you're collaging. You're putting them in a box or some kind of assemblage or a book.
Right.
You like alternative process and old cameras and throwaway plastic cameras and that kind of thing, right?
I do indeed.
You do indeed. And on top of all of that, it's, I would say, female oriented.
Absolutely. Throughout my career, I have focused on the female form, family narrative, memory, contemporary issues for women.
Right. So, but now you started out, though, as kind of a straight photographer, no?
Like, I did.
Right? I mean, it seems to me the first show I saw of yours, which I believe was at Licia Duckler, it was called Modern Goddess. I might have seen something before, but that is the show that sticks with me. And that was, what, 11 years ago, something like that? No.
And I think it was more than that.
Was
but
it 2000?
That was my, it was 2000.
Okay, so 13 years
and that
ago.
That was my first show, first solo show there with Alicia.
And these were straight ahead photos of a, look like a dancer.
Right.
What were we seeing?
So Modern Goddess was a series of images of women, and I really like to photograph people that I'm close to, so my family or friends. And it was a response in how I'm always approaching people to ask them if I can photograph them. And very common, they would say, oh, I'm too fat, or my face is broken out, or I need to have my hair cut. So it was always this really self-conscious, self-doubt. issue that was being thrown in there. So I decided I wanted to try to make beautiful images of women who didn't necessarily feel that they were beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And I used long exposures in
kind
response
of a blur, right?
To a blur to how time was affecting me, so the aging process and myself, and blurred the images, kind of blur the lines of time.
So in a way, you really couldn't tell, like, how old these women were, how much they weighed, all those kinds of things. Yet you definitely had the female form was intact there.
Yes. The work, a lot of my work is very anonymous. Kind of, because it's about all of us as women. It's not necessarily about the person that I'm photographing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also about me.
Right. But when you do have a face that you can recognize, then it is like, that's maybe more of a, is that more of a found image or something from your family archive when it is a face that, that we can see?
I have started doing a few more straight portraits again, but most of the images in the past have been family photographs and almost always the women again.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a series called Lineage that went back from my mother to grandmother and then even back even further.
Mm-hmm. So that exhibition, I wrote in my blog, I said, I think that was a kind of a pivotal show for you, Modern Goddess. And the reason why I say that is because you had images before, like from your window seat, right? And more street photography, not to say that women weren't in that, but it's really like progressed since then. Is that true? Was that a pivotal show? And what happened to you internally when you made that show?
It was a pivotal show. One, it was my first big gallery solo show. And it was my first, and it was, I had shown earlier, but it was really straight studio work, which was different. And I still do work out on the streets, but I pretty much have become a studio photographer.
Mm-hmm.
So making it happen rather than wandering upon it in the street.
So what did the goddess mean for you then? Like modern goddess, let's talk a little bit about that because that's a word that I've kind of come to love and hate. And it's a very tough job being a goddess, by the way. what did you mean by that? And has your idea, I mean, that was 13 years ago. Has that evolved, that word for you, or changed?
Well, I love women and who we are and what we stand for. And women's relationships are really different than a man and woman. I also think that it can be different photographically being portrayed by a woman, so that I'm a female shooting rather than having a male make the imagery, that could make it really different. I just, I think we're important.
Yes, right. But the whole idea of goddess... Is that all, is that 100% positive then for you?
It is. I mean, except that it goes back to self-doubt and body image and that, you know, those kind of issues. My zipper.
So that you're kind of reconstructing that and sort of, you know, re-examining that in your work.
Absolutely.
Changing what we think of as the goddess. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
One thing I've noticed with you is that you are... you have done a lot of different kinds of scale, right? Like you did a window project that I curated you into. This was a long time ago, but you took a lip. A family mouth.
My mother.
Your mother's lips and made it into like a billboard size. But yet you have also done things like tiny, tiny, tiny.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about going into all those different extremes? Is that challenging for you technically?
I'm very curious, so I like to try new things. The billboard size piece was challenging for me because I couldn't print that myself. So it's very hard for someone to print for a printer.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved the outcome of that. And I did another larger scale project, the girly pieces. And a friend of mine asked me, she said, what are you going to do next? And I said, something really small.
Mm-hmm. So you just said something there. You said, it's hard to have someone print for a printer.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't realize you're printing all your own stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Really? All of it?
Except
for the big things.
I think that I did that, the piece of my mother's lips, and then I did a large H2O at Torfot's cafe a long time ago that were some big, like, 3x3 footprints mm-hmm. for me, which is big. Yeah. The biggest I can print in my studio is 20x24 mm-hmm. in my darkroom. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I still do open tray, wet process, do all my work. And I even do all my digital work, which is just documentation, work that the galleries need okay. or, like, you would want for your site or something yes. like that for my website.
So you're doing it all.
I'm doing it all.
Not a lot.
And I teach black and white darkroom.
I'm going to get to your okay. to your teaching, because I think that's an important part of who you are. But it's kind of unusual, right? Printing your own work? I think it used to be much more common, but not now.
Right. Being a silver printer is almost becoming an alternative process now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like everything else.
Right.
Yes.
The darkroom is a kind of a smaller part of my work now. Like, I spend so much time in my shop area actually putting the pieces together, because my mixed media pieces are more what I'm focusing on now, and mm-hmm. they have a lot of steps. But I really like process.
Mm-hmm. So you said my workshop, I'm putting things together. In other words, you're making constructions, you're making us. Do you call it assemblage? What do you call them?
I call them photographs on found object.
All right.
Yeah. And the found object is part of, it feeds my shopping addiction.
Yes.
So it's fun. And I really like using ephemera and things that have their own story uh-huh. and that bring part of their past into it. And people also give me things, and I believe that it brings their spirit into it as well.
Nice. So part of your work now is like going and getting the surface you will collage on top of.
Absolutely.
And that's so much fun.
It is. I have a lot of forms right now. I'm getting ready to do a trip back home, and then I'm going to come home. School just ended, and I'm ready to explode into my work for the summer.
You say I have a lot of forms now. That means empty surfaces, boxes and things like that mm-hmm. and books.
Yes.
You're someone who makes artist book.
I do.
Yes. Did you show those at 23 Sandy,
I still do.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So just talk to us a little bit. Like, what did your books look like?
My books are mostly found books. Most of them are reference-type books, so they have a little bit more of a universal feel. A lot of them also, I use different languages, because when I started working with the books, it wasn't about the words, but it can't help but be about the words.
There they are.
Right, uh-huh. once you're working with them. So I apply film positives into books that I usually fold the pages and create the form.
Mm-hmm. So is this kind of part of that whole idea of narrative that's in all of your work?
Mm-hmm.
It's telling
storytelling.
Storytelling to one degree or another. How many books have you made? Mm. Some people make a lot, and some are just maybe make two or three.
Oh, I don't know, maybe 25 or 30.
Wow.
But I'm still working on them, and I have some new ones that I'm ready to do.
Mm-hmm. And so you have that part where you know what it's going in. So the other component are the photographs that you're going to use. Mm-hmm. Are these ones that you've already shot, or is that part of what you would do during the summer?
I have a lot of new negatives. I have some film sitting on my table, too.
Right.
There's images that I go back to that get recreated into new pieces,
uh-huh.
especially some of the family. There's the one
like
of my
mom?
Mother
yeah.
and one of my aunt that get recycled, shall we say. And I just recently lost my dad, so I believe that there'll be coming some male figures into my work. I can't imagine there not being a shift.
Right. Well, how do you feel about that? I mean, like,
I'm excited to see what happens.
Yes. It's not like you've got big plans, right? It's sort of a matter of discovery when you get into the studio?
I have a few ideas, and I had a few forms that I already have, and then all of a sudden the title pops in, and then I find something, and I'm like, okay, now I know exactly what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you like shooting your friends, people that you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're not someone that just meets somebody and says, I've got to take a photo of you.
I say that all the time.
Oh, really?
I'm always looking.
Oh, okay.
But it doesn't usually happen.
Right. People don't want to do it, or
I don't ask them usually.
Uh-huh.
It's a very intimate relationship. My space is not that big.
Uh-huh.
And I just
I've been
really
there, yeah.
Yes, you have.
Yeah.
I really like to work with people that I know.
Uh-huh.
And that's worked out so far.
Right.
Yeah.
What's been the most difficult? I mean, like, do you have a story? I know as a makeup artist, I had a few stories, you know, like, it was very difficult, but on the other side of it, it was really fabulous. Have you had that kind of experience where someone's very resistant and then there's kind of a healing or something that happens?
Well, for me, one of the most difficult things was photographing a man from the gym. He wanted, and this was early on, and I was just sweating in my studio because I'm like, okay, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. And, you know, I did it, but I never really did anything with it. I did it for him, and I was like, okay, it's not the male figure. And right. It's not that I don't like men. I have one. I like him a lot.
Yeah, you have one.
I do have one. And then another was framing that it was the story show that I was invited to do a show of prints, and I've been working with the objects for 5 or 6 years, and I was invited to do a show of prints at PNCA. So I had recently started teaching, and I had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of negatives and couldn't decide what to do. So I created an entire new body of work that was cameraless photography, and I decided that I would frame it. My problem is I always know exactly how I want it or how I want it to look.
Right.
And that is the last show that I will ever frame.
Wow. So cameraless photography, what does that mean now?
So it's made in my darkroom. Uh-huh. So it's made with raw light and typically objects on photo paper. So and run through
like
regular wet tray process.
Is it like diazo print? Is it like that?
More like photograms.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like what Man Ray did. Kind of like that.
Right. But you can also kind of add a collage element into it, which was the stories was more like that using appropriated magazine imagery.
Cool. You're listening to KBOO Portland. My name is Ava Lake, and this is Art Focus. If you want more information about this show, you can go to kboo.fm/artfocus, and you can see links to my guests and past interviews. I've been here, I don't know, a little over 3 years, and most of the interviews are online. I have with me today Heidi Kirkpatrick, who's a photographer. And that doesn't seem quite right. Just say artist, really, because you use photos. They're not all yours. And kind of constantly exploring the photo, the intimate photo image. Would that be a good way to describe what you're doing?
That's a great way. Can I write that down?
Yes. Well, we'll have this online. You can go back and listen to it and quote it away. So get back a little bit to like the collaborating with friends. You then made a body of work out of this, I believe, called Souvenirs. Was mm-hmm. that all based on people that you knew, or
as far as the women that I photographed?
Yes, the images that are in the souvenirs.
That's all my imagery.
That's all your imagery. Mm-hmm. This is a little more removed from that, but you had a show. This was a few years ago, which I thought was incredibly styled, actually, called Girly.
Mm. Thank you.
Yes. I mean, that had a real style to it beyond like the photo image. Can you talk to us about that show?
Sure. That was really my first foray into some mixed media.
Uh-huh.
So it was working with the large film pieces. And at my school, they would say that was my artistic response. I lost a dear friend of mine at the age of 32 to breast cancer.
Oh, wow.
And I started collecting this kind of girly booby art things, vintage to modern day. Uh-huh. And then photographed
like pinups and
most of them objects.
Okay.
Like toothbrush and salt and pepper shakers.
Oh,
I mean, just
right.
crazy things uh-huh. that you know.
Real kitsch.
Very, very kitsch.
Oh, so there was a 3D, but it was photographs of the things.
It was photographs,
okay.
But they were made in large shadow boxes, and they were the biggest pieces that I had ever physically made. My husband mm-hmm. worked for a company that brought us here to Portland, and I originally bought the shadow boxes out of, they had a liquidation sale, and they were from the plant.
Uh-huh.
And then I had others recreated in the same style, these big hinged boxes again.
So, and when was that? What year was that?
2004.
Uh huh. One thing, you've used all of these alternative processes. But one thing I've noticed that you've been able to achieve is that even though you're doing this alternative process, you've kind of been able to go beyond the process. Like it's not about that process. Do you understand what I'm saying here?
I do.
That takes years and years to make that happen.
Thank you.
Did you know that that was a challenge that you were facing when you were, first getting into it?
I used to say, is my art too regular? It's like, is anybody ever going to get it? And then when I shifted into object work, and still nobody was really working or that I knew in that way. And I don't know. Did I answer the question?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I remember going into your house and there was all of these cameras all lining the floor,
mm-hmm.
right? Are they all Holgas? Is that what that is? What was the deal? What was I seeing there?
All vintage cameras.
All vintage cameras.
I'm a collector.
How many you got?
I have over 200 in my collection, probably.
So it's amazing. You can go into her house, people, and the whole, do you still have them all lined up like that?
Sure.
Yes, and all kind of different colors and sizes, but mm-hmm. there's sort of a toy feeling to almost all of them.
Right.
So those are plastic cameras, right, that were kind of meant to be throwaway? Or no?
Some of them.
Yeah?
Some of them. They range from probably 1900 to modern day, and I collect kids' cameras and uh-huh. anything photography
right.
related.
Do you shoot with them all, or was it just...
It's more of a collecting.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. But do you feel that they would all make a different picture, or no?
I think it all comes from the heart.
Right. But let's just say if you shot the same thing, the same light, would all those cameras maybe produce a different kind of image, though? I know
they
it sounds
would.
Like they would.
They
right?
would. Slightly so. Some more so than others.
Mm-hmm. You're also a teacher, Heidi.
I am.
What are you teaching?
I teach black and white open tray process at the Northwest Academy at the high school level.
So here's all these kids that, I mean, their idea of a photograph, I'm sure, is Instagram and what's on their cell phone, right? So, I mean, that's a photo to them. So how do they embrace what you're doing? And you know, I guess what's the progress with that?
Once I get a student, I usually get to keep them until they graduate. They fall in love with the darkroom. It's magic when the first print comes up.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's magic for me still, you know, when I'm developing. There's mm-hmm. nothing like it. So the kids, it's interesting. Some of the students that come in that have had digital mm-hmm. will blow through a roll of film in like 10 minutes. And it's like, well, that's not really how you do it, you know, because you don't get to throw them away.
Right.
You're keeping them all. So it is a different way of working. And I think it really makes them slow down and see the world differently. And it takes a while to learn that because you have to practice.
Yes.
And photography.
You're teaching them patience, right? That's one thing you're teaching them.
I try.
I mean, that's interesting. I guess you're right. We do take a ton of pictures when we don't have to print any of them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So then they do a sheet with all the photos on it.
They do. They do contact sheets.
Right.
They do all their printing. It's uh-huh. like I tried a new way of teaching this last year for the beginning photography and really just kind of threw them out there. Didn't show them a lot of work or mm-hmm. master's work or my work because mm-hmm. they see so many images. You know, we're bombarded daily mm-hmm. by thousands of images. And we talked about what people photograph. And then I just sent them out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked really well. It's interesting to see when I'm not telling them to shoot portraits, what they come up with. It was a very successful year. I'm really proud of them.
Well, I remember, I interviewed you like probably 10 years ago when I was at KPSU doing Art Star Radio. And I remember you said, art saves lives. Mm-hmm. It saved my life.
It did. I traded one addiction for another.
Are you willing to talk at all about that?
Sure.
Yes. And also, I think you might be saving a few lives also by teaching these young kids, right? They're at the precipice, so to speak.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. I love my students. They enrich my life. And I know one of my favorite things that they say to me is, Heidi, thank you for teaching me more than photography.
Oh.
You know, because they really do get life lessons. I think, you know, most teachers bring that to the table, or hopefully
mm-hmm.
they do.
Mm-hmm. So now, how did art save your life? Do you mind just sharing a little?
So I came here kicking and screaming. My husband got a job in Portland from Dallas, Texas, and I had been a bartender for years and years and years, and it brings an unhealthy lifestyle with it.
Yeah.
So
I know.
I'll say, yeah, I quit using when I came to Portland and threw myself into photography, and that's really when I started making photographs. That was summer of 93, and my husband's father had bought me a camera for Christmas of 92 because he said he saw something in my pictures that he liked.
Right.
Because I would photograph with disposable cameras. See, and,
yes.
You know, I didn't have any fancy equipment. I don't have a lot of fancy equipment now. It's not about that.
Uh-huh.
But I would take pictures of my family and friends and travels. Still kind of what I do now, too,
right.
but including the studio work.
Mm-hmm.
And threw myself into photography when I came here. I found myself here. I didn't know anybody. It was raining all the time. Doug was working.
Yeah.
I didn't have a car or a job for the first time since I was like 14.
Right.
So I traded one addiction for another and went to Portland State and studied under John Barna and Richard Kraft. And
that's where you learned.
PNCA and Diane Kornberg and Terry Totemeyer.
Cool.
Yeah. I had some good mentors.
Really?
Yeah.
And then now you're doing it yourself for all these others.
Passing the torch.
So what are you working on? Okay. I guess what I was going to ask you is what you're working on right now. But I suppose it's this new project that you're going to do when you come back, which is filling in these boxes.
It is. So I have a solo show coming up in Center for Fine Art Photography that was a Critical Mass show that I won the solo show award.
Fabulous.
November 1st.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I'm working on that. I have, it's about a third of the way done, and I have everything figured out. It just hasn't jumped into what it's going to be yet.
Right. So I guess this is just a technical question. What kind of gluing? How are you doing? Yeah,
that's what I don't tell.
I don't.
That's the only thing. That's what I say is I glue.
Well, I'm going to get you off the air here. I'm going to pin
what
you.
What kind of glue do you use?
Pin you down. Well, it's actually kind of a controversial issue if you're a collage artist of any sort. Believe it or not, this I have come to find out. And everybody has their own way, and whatever works for you is how it's going to be.
Right.
Before you did the photographs, so did you ever do collage? I mean, was that anything you had done in high school or anything like that? Because now you really, you know, you're in that world.
I didn't. I mean, I really didn't. I was a bad girl when I was in high school.
Oh, you.
I ended up going to a vocational school.
Uh-huh.
I took horticulture, believe it or not. I've always had a love of plants, and I still do.
Right.
But no big art focus.
Yes.
I mean, when I was younger, uh-huh, I did some jewelry making and some painting, but nothing, you know, just dabbling.
Right. What's your favorite camera now? You had all those cameras.
The one I have with me.
The one you have right with you now?
No.
Oh, just whatever it is.
Right.
So, okay. But like, for instance, when you had all of us in the studio, like I got to be in your studio, mm-hmm, what's your go-to?
So I've kind of gone back to the original camera that Doug's dad bought for me, which is nothing fancy. It's just a Canon EOS.
Uh-huh. So, and why?
It's easy. I know how it works.
That's the thing.
It's like I figure out what I'm using and I stick with it. Until they make it go away. And I have to change and figure something else out. Because my materials disappear. They discontinued the film that I print on. And then I had to switch to another one.
Have you found there's been a lot of challenges like that the last few years?
A lot of things have disappeared. I don't print on paper much anymore, but a lot of the papers have disappeared. I mean, Kodak is not the same Kodak.
No. It's kind of sad, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you've been able to reinvent, sort of.
I have.
And that's kind of maybe one of the most important lessons for you, and moving on and making all the different types of things that you do. Heidi, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. So Heidi Kirkpatrick, you can go to HeidiKirkpatrick.com. It's the images that we've been talking about. She's really got a very well pulled together site. There's hundreds of photographs on there, mm-hmm, right? Pretty much.
There are.
Images that go from to at least back to about 1999 or something like that. And your shows that you just had was where? In Boston?
I'm represented by Panopticon Gallery in Boston.
Uh-huh.
And Jason Landry is the reason that I ended up getting the Griffin. And all the other people, Gail Gibson and everyone who's been behind me, Laura Russell. And but at the Griffin Museum of Photography is where my show is now that just opened, called Under Glass.
Under Glass, yes. And so you can go to Gail Gibson in Seattle and see her work. You can also see it at the Blue Sky Drawers. What's in there, by the way? That wouldn't be objects. That would be...
It's objects.
It's objects?
It is objects. They had to be less than an inch and a half deep.
Deep.
For the drawer. So it's the second year I've had objects in there. So it's a mix of the specimen pieces and Mahjong tiles and some plates, and I think there's a couple wood pieces in there.
Nice.
Cigarette tin.
Yeah, you can go to Blue Sky and you can check that out. So Heidi, thank you.
Thank you, Ava.
You've been listening to Art Focus. My name is Ava Lake, and Joseph Galban will be with you next week. I'll be back on July 2nd. Thanks a lot for listening to Art Focus. I'll be talking with you in a couple weeks. Wow, you know, I'm really sorry.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Are you a veteran with hearing loss? Saturday, June 29th, Hearing Loss Solutions for Veterans will take place from 8:45 to 5:30 at the Oregon Convention Center in Portland. It features workshops, panel discussions, and the newest technology. Lunch will be provided. Don't miss Hearing Loss Solutions for Veterans at 8:45 a.m. Saturday, June 29th at the Oregon Convention Center. Pre-register today at hamiltoncaptel.com/veterans.
And now, the KABU News at Noon. A coalition of human rights groups have filed a lawsuit against the New York Police Department for its decade-long policy of profiling Muslims in New York City. The lawsuit was filed today on behalf of a group of New Yorkers who were targets of religious profiling. It claims that the civil rights of Muslims in New York were violated by the federal and local spying operation. The New York Police Department worked with the FBI and other federal agencies for over 10 years to profile and target mosques and Muslim community groups in New York City. The operation is still ongoing, but has been widely criticized since it was exposed last year. A bomb exploded at a funeral in Pakistan this morning, killing 20. The explosion was the deadliest in Pakistan in over a month when a string of attacks took place during the lead-up to the May 11th elections. The U.S. government will begin negotiations with the Taliban in Afghanistan on Thursday, according to a State Department official. The announcement came on the same day that the U.S. is scheduled to hand over authority in Afghanistan to local forces. After 12 years of war in Afghanistan, the U.S. has begun withdrawing troops despite the failure of the stated U.S. objective in the war, to root out the Taliban and al-Qaeda. The most recent reports from Afghanistan show continued control by the Taliban of wide regions of the country. Al-Qaeda has also allegedly gained support, especially in the autonomous region bordering Pakistan. And that's the KABU News at Noon. For more local, national, and international news, tune in every weekday at 5 for the KABU Evening News, produced by volunteers right here in our Portland studios.